Good afternoon. I'm Myra Schneider. I work at the Institute for Public Health Innovation, Common Health Action in Washington, D.C., and I'm happy to be presenting to you this afternoon. The title of my presentation is Aging in America, and I will be presenting findings from two surveys that we conducted over the past 2 years. I will look at the findings from those, the implications for policy, and conclusions. I have no financial relationships to disclose. By way of introduction, Americans are living longer than ever before. Life expectancy rose to 78.2 years in 2009. In 2050, over 88 million Americans will be over 65 years old. And the question is, how prepared are American communities for this historic demographic shift? Okay, and also by way of introduction, families have become more mobile and are often unable to care for their aging family members. Most of us are familiar with the stress of caregiving, which can exact a heavy emotional, financial, and physical toll for people who provide care. Older adults currently have few choices in terms of assisted living outside of home or nursing home care, and they have overwhelmingly expressed a desire to age in place. On a societal level, the recent economic downturn has resulted in decreasing individual and familial wealth and a widening gap between upper and lower income levels. Reductions in government resources will affect older people unequally, and issues of great concern are increasing rates of poverty and homelessness among the elderly and an increasingly fragile Medicare system. There has been an absence of a national dialogue focused on systematic preparation for a large number of aging seniors with limited economic needs and expanding health needs. Therefore, public health efforts need to be focused on addressing the social and economic determinants of risk associated with an older and less economically viable population. In 2005, Common Health Action conducted an online survey to explore what Americans were thinking and perhaps doing about aging, and we had a sample of approximately 400 people. In 2010, we launched an expanded survey and had an N of over 1,000 respondents. And in 2011, we launched a more extensive survey and doubled the respondents for that survey. And we included additional items on caretaking, preventive health care, and the effects of the economic downturn. And our hope is that findings will be used as a basis for public policy debate, increase advocacy efforts, and increase public awareness about aging. Our survey had 41 items, and these items included availability of aging resources in communities, whom people would rely on for care, where they plan to live, what kind of preventive health maintenance they were exercising, and their perceptions of their confidence in the government's ability to support an increasing aging population. And we embedded qualitative within the quantitative items. To obtain a sense of their concern or worry about the future related to aging, we asked them how worried they were about these potential aging retirement issues, including health care costs, caregiving, reductions in Medicare and Social Security, housing, and transportation needs. We included 5 items in exploring their retirement plans and asked them whether and where they plan to retire, at what age, to what extent they thought they would be prepared to provide for their personal needs, how they thought they would pay for something like long-term care, and whether they thought resources would be available and affordable in the future. 5 items also addressed access to and use of technology as people aged, We asked them whether they planned to have an internet connection, whether they planned to use social networking and computer tools in their senior years, whether they planned to manage their health online, whether they anticipated using the internet to access services, and we asked them to identify specific barriers to internet usage over age 65. And finally, we asked respondents to share their perspectives about their confidence in the capacity and the ability of the federal government to support their needs as they aged, and we asked for suggestions about the actions that the federal government could take, and we asked them to describe entities besides the federal government that could help prepare greater numbers of older Americans, and then general comments about aging in America. The 2011 survey was on our website from July through October, and we added some additional items: type of health insurance, the effects of the economic downturn on retirement, community resources needed for aging in place, what kind of policy changes people thought were needed to help caretakers, their major health concerns, and self-rated physical and mental health. The 2010 survey looked geographically like this map, and we had a large number of respondents from North Carolina, and I don't know why that would be. If someone could tell me, I'd be very happy. otherwise, large states in Maryland and D.C. were the majority of respondents. In 2011, the map looked a bit different, and we had a large number of respondents from Kentucky and West Virginia. I don't know why, so that's another question. And then the southeastern seaboard was added. In terms of demographics for both years, most respondents were in the middle age range, 41 to 64. Most were women, most were white, and most had almost 50% had graduate degrees. So we had a largely female, white, educated group of respondents. We also had we translated the survey into Spanish and had a Spanish version on the website, and very few respondents responded to that survey. So we're investigating how to outreach better to the populations that we really did want to reach. Most were married, lived with their spouses. We looked at employment, and there was a reduction in full-time employment in 2011 and a higher number of unemployed. And most respondents were in the middle income range. And just a picture of the high level of education among respondents. When we asked about retirement, we asked, to what extent do you believe you will be prepared to provide for your physical and financial needs? And almost 50% thought they would be somewhat prepared. When we stratified by race and gender and ethnicity, we found more whites than blacks or Hispanic Latinos planned to retire, more college graduates, more in the middle income range, and the highest proportion reported that they planned to retire at the average retirement age of 65 to 67. We were looking at changes in economic circumstances here, and there is an increase among those who depend 100% on the Social Security check to survive, and an increase in those who are very worried about reductions in Medicare, reductions in health care, reductions in Social Security, and being unprepared for retirement. Stratified again, there was an increase in 2011 among women who were unprepared and among the Hispanic Latino population, and an increase in those same two groups being very worried about health care costs. In terms of caretaking, more men would rely on their spouses, women would rely on extended family. more whites would live in a nursing home and would care for themselves or pay a professional, and higher percentages of blacks and Hispanics would depend on family members or friends. In terms of, again, looking at resources, those who had nothing saved and no health insurance, again, women, and blacks had nothing saved were the highest proportions of those who had nothing saved. And those who had no health insurance included women, blacks, and Hispanics, and those who were less educated. And this is just a graphic of the question, if you need help caring for yourself, where do you plan to live? And almost 75% responded that they plan to live at home. Qualitative responses supported the quantitative data. People said that they hoped to age in place, that they viewed family and community support as fundamental to that, and that they viewed adequate and affordable housing, transportation, and services as crucial to aging in place. They also regarded a safe, secure community and, once again, affordable, available transportation and housing options. And when asked what policy changes should be instituted to help caretakers, they responded affordable health care, dependent care tax credit, and business policies to aid working caregivers. The qualitative responses supported those findings. It is hard to hold a full-time job and take care of someone. In terms of internet access, over 50% anticipated no barriers to use after 65, especially retired respondents. Cost was a factor for Hispanic Latino population and women and single people, and those of low education. All of those would be predictable. Lower percentage of people said they would use the internet to manage their health in their senior years than they would use it for social network or to access services. Just looking again at cost, younger people, women, Hispanics, and lower educated people would be deterred. Those were the kinds of questions we asked. The qualitative responses regarding use of technology included people's concern about the security of electronic information, potential for identity theft, replacement of a relationship with healthcare providers, keeping up with technological innovation, and physical impairments, but they did think it would improve the management of aging in place. I'm going to skip. Cancer and Alzheimer's were their major concerns. They were not confident the federal government would support their needs, and I'm going to have to skip a lot of this. Particular challenges facing low-income and rural seniors. Basically, the rich keep getting richer, and the gap continues to grow, according to one respondent. The majority of people did not think that the federal government alone could support their needs. There were limitations, which include limitations of internet surveys reaching a certain population. We had a high level of income and education. We had mainly middle range age respondents, but we did have a sufficient sample size to stratify by race and ethnicity and gender. There is pervasive uncertainty and apprehension out there. Respondents hope to remain independent in age and place, but are concerned about resources. They're worried about the economy. And women and older members of historically disadvantaged groups will be particularly vulnerable to reduction in government services. Doing research, developing community-based models of aging preparedness and community-based models for living, working together, and developing policies that support healthy aging and improve the economic viability of the aging population is what needs to be done. 1 minute for questions. Yes.
So how are you going to take the policy implications? How are you going to affect change? Because if I close my eyes 20 years ago, affordable housing, transportation, I mean, many percent things exist.
Right. Well, we are in Washington. I don't know what we're going to do, but we did publish the aging report from 2010 with these kind of policy implications, and we will continue working to disseminate this information and advocate for policy change that's needed. Hopefully it'll go further. Any other questions? Thank you.